We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Do you ever feel like you're always on? What do you do when you need a moment to chill? How do you like to hit the reset button to get ready for what's next? These days, everything is go, go, go. It's nothing but nonstop hustle all the time. Work, family, friends, a million pressing social issues, and an expectation to be on 24/7, sometimes you just need a moment to turn off and hit the reset button. That's when you reach for an ice-cold Coors Light, the beer that's made to chill. Listen, there's a lot going on in Green Bay right now, and I feel like we could all use a moment to chill with a Coors Light. See, Coors Light is cold lagered, cold filtered, and cold packaged. It's literally made to chill. It's as crisp and refreshing as the Colorado Rockies, perfect for a moment to unwind. Coors Light is what I choose when I need to unwind. So when you want to hit reset, reach for the beer that's made to chill. Get Coors Light in their all-new look delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado. And as always, celebrate.
Minutes a day, 365 days a year. This is the Pack-A-Day Podcast.
Welcome into the Wednesday edition of the Pack-A-Day Podcast, Conference Championship Edition. God, it feels good to say that. Steve Perhatch, joined as always by Dusty Evely. Sarah Kelleher, what is going on? Who is excited for some football this weekend?
Me, it's me. It's both of us.
We are both so excited, and I think another question is, Steve, how are you doing? Because you had a special diet today, the Andy Herman diet, as your punishment for the prop for losing the prop bet series. So how's it going? What was it like to eat like Andy for a day?
I don't feel great right now. I will tell you that. I was saying before, so the meal consisted of bagel bites for breakfast, which is just ridiculous, with a Mountain Dew. And then for snacks, it was pepperoni pizza combos, and then for lunch it was Lunchable pizzas, which are just atrocious. It was I had to power through that. That was just so bad. And then with dinner it was a frozen pizza, and then I was given the option of ice cream for dessert, and the thought of more sugar at this point is just grotesque to me. And again, like I tweeted it out after, I don't understand how Andy doesn't look like Pizza the Hut from from Spaceball. That's exactly the thing I can think of, because the amount of sugar between the soda and like all the salt from the pizza, like those combos are so salty. It was just, all I want to do is drink a whole bunch of water and have fruits and vegetables tomorrow. So I think I think you guys got the better end of the deal by eating three Oreos. I'm just going to say that because I don't feel great. Full disclosure, I've been farting all day. It's just awful. I hate everything about this thing, and I think you guys definitely won. So, yeah.
You didn't even have to say that, Steve, and I just assumed you were, just based on what you've been eating. So,
pretty much, yeah. But, you know, it's funny. It'll make farting makes people laugh, so you know, I'm sure that'll help out. So, but yeah, so it is officially paid off. We won't have any prop bets until the 2021 season opener for the Green Bay Packers. So, good riddance. Thank God it's over, and I guarantee you, I'm not going to lose this next year. So, But let's see. We've got some news and notes before some things going on. Before we start talking about the game and against the Buccaneers, we've got Aaron Jones, Rob Demoski, reporting that the Packers did, in fact, make him an offer that would have given him annual salary as one of the top five running backs in the NFL. However, it was noted that the guaranteed money most likely was not anywhere near that of the top five running backs in the NFL. And after that is when he decided to switch his representation. So, guys, just curious. We were kind of thinking that Aaron Jones wasn't going to get big money. What were your thoughts, takeaways from finding that out? Because we just kind of heard that a couple of minutes ago.
Honestly, I'm shocked that it was just randomly dropped in that article and that it wasn't like circulating around Twitter. I know when we hopped on to start recording and we were going through topics and news and notes, Steve brought this up and was like, oh, did you guys see that this came up in an article? And we were like, no, what? Because it was just kind of hidden in there. It was like, oh, by the way, this happened, and moving on to the next thing happening with the Packers. But yeah, I'm kind of surprised. I mean, it makes sense that that's why he switched agents. We knew that something was obviously up when that happened. And I get the guaranteed money thing just because of injuries and you never know what can happen. But this just makes me feel more and more like Aaron Jones is not going to be a Green Bay Packer next year. And that really sucks. But I think that's the reality of it. They gave him a decent offer, but he didn't take it. And obviously they're still trying to make things work, but it's hard for me to believe that he'll be able to have that much guaranteed money.
Yeah. Yeah, pretty much all that. It's a little weird the way it came out. I mean, and I think we'd all kind of heard something in the offseason. They were kind of working on something. You didn't know how that was going to look. But yeah, it seems unlikely he's going to be back, which is sad. But yeah, it is, like Sarah said, it's weird that it's a nugget in like a potential offseason moves thing that Demoski wrote, and I did not see it anywhere. Just a little strange there.
Yeah, actually, I had saw somebody who had like quote tweeted something and saying this was somebody had put out a fake account, that this was fake news, you know, somebody on Twitter trying to just play around, and all of a sudden like, wait, no, this is actually real. This actually happened. So very fascinating to see that. We've kind of all had that discussion of Aaron Jones being gone. And I even tweeted, I was like, after the game on Saturday, I was like, man, like somebody, like, it sucks that he's going to be leaving. He's going to get paid and he deserves it. So, yeah, I think we were all kind of shocked there. More news and notes against the opponent for the Packers, Antonio Brown, who injured his knee, had an MRI following the game. It did not suffer a serious injury. He is considered day-to-day going into the game. And then the Buccaneers officially designated nose tackle Vita Vea for return from the reserve injured list. Doesn't mean necessarily that he will be ready for the game on Sunday, but it just says that the Buccaneers now enter the 21-day window for him to return to the active roster. So, Dusty, any big takeaway from it?
No, I mean, if he does come back, I mean, obviously, if he's 100%, which he wouldn't be, that would be a huge boost to the middle of their defense, and they're good enough already. But he's such a big body, good run stuffer. But, you know, he has not been officially activated. And even if he is, what's the cap on his snaps? Like 10, maybe? I mean, he hasn't played. They've just been designated to practice. So it seems like you see his name. It seems a little scary to have him back in there. But if he's back, he's limited snaps. If he's back at all, I don't really expect him to be out there much, if at all.
Sarah, what about Antonio Brown?
Whatever. I mean, I think everyone kind of knows my feelings about that situation, and just, I mean, if he can play, obviously it's just another person that the Packers defense have to look out for. I mean, he's a good wide receiver and he's a target for Tom Brady. But yeah, I mean, I never wish injury on anyone, so I hope he's okay. But yeah, that's all I'll say about that.
You can wish injury on him. That's okay.
No, I'm not going to do that. Do not put words in my mouth.
Next up, we've got just a cool kind of note from PFF, and apparently the Packers are the only team ever to have the highest graded wide receiver and cornerback since 2006. So that's Davante Adams rated coming in at 92.4, and then Jair coming in at a 90.5. So just a kind of cool note that Sarah had found off of Twitter, and so we just kind of want to pass that along before jumping into some conference championship content. Oh, crap, not even that yet. I lied. It's all the sugar rushing through my head. We have the Pat McAfee Show. So, Dusty, Sarah, you guys were both able to watch some of it. I know Sarah was able to do the whole thing. So, Dusty, did you have one takeaway you had before Sarah can recap everything else?
Yeah, I mean, well, you know, first things first, he came out wearing a shirt with the face of Doc Holliday, and it said "Say When" on it. We all know Roger's deep love of the movie Tombstone, and I have a deep love for the movie Tombstone. So I always love when he throws those things out there. So I don't think they said anything about it, but I thoroughly enjoyed that shirt. But yeah, I mean, he talked a little bit, and not specifically about this game. But one of my favorite things, it's one of the things I've been kind of looking at this year, has been scripted plays. They asked him kind of how much can you really gather from the script? And he was like, well, you know, against the Rams, they asked about the Rams. It's a lot. You know, you're looking to see how often they go five down linemen, because the Rams have a tendency to do that. Not all the time, but when they do, it's to kind of, you know, scheme up some stuff, maybe get Donald some one-on-ones, run some stuff behind it, run some blitz behind it, because you've already got those kind of five-on-five matchup. You're looking, okay, where are they putting Donald? When we do this, how are they reacting to do that? And then also when we run some of this stuff and they show those fronts, where are the free rushers coming from? Because we know they kind of want to scheme some stuff and some send some free rushers. So again, like he didn't get too deep into that. He got deep into kind of the one of the Lazard plays that he threw from the shadow of his own end zone. But just whenever Rodgers kind of dig into kind of the strategy of the game and kind of the game planning stuff, I always kind of love hearing just what are they looking for and then how do they enact on that. So not a huge takeaway, but just someone asked about script, and I'm legally obligated to love and then talk about when Aaron Rodgers talked about the play script.
Yeah, I purposely didn't write that down because I had a feeling that you were going to cover that. So Pat McAfee Show was another longer episode after last week was pretty short, just because it was a busier week. It was a shorter week with the game on Saturday. But on Tuesday, everything was kind of back to business as usual as far as their weekly schedule. So he was there for much longer again. He shared that he had a few fingers full of scotch and a cigar after the game. So he was feeling good. So love to hear that about Aaron Rodgers. He also, Pat McAfee asked him a little bit about the Lazard touchdown, because I'm sure anyone listening and everyone listening has seen this, that Rodgers, it seemed like he kind of called his shot. Like he shook his head no a couple times, kind of looked around, and then he just got that little Aaron Rodgers smirk on his face, like, oh, it's about to go down right now. And then threw a touchdown pass to Alan Lazard. So they basically said, what the heck happened? Did you actually call your shot? Walk us through what was going on there. And so he said he didn't like point to Alan Lazard to say like, yeah, I'm going to pass it to you. He was reminding him that he was blocking the safety down the field. And he said that then, you know, Alan Lazard did just that. But then he just, before he knew it, was running right past the guy and was wide open. So he's like, I just happened to throw him the ball. Then he also talked a little bit about the play in, I think it was in the first half, where it was first and 17 and the Packers were pretty much backed up into their own end zone. And when they snapped the ball, Aaron Rodgers, when he dropped back into the pocket, he was in the Packers end zone and he was dancing around, running all over the place in the pocket. And it totally looked like he was just going to get sacked for a safety somehow. And he said, basically he knew that which guys were running an in route. And he knew, again, he passed the ball to Alan Lazard here, that Alan Lazard was running the in route, and that, in his words, he made it sound so easy. He was like, you can always throw an in route. You can always throw the ball the same way on an in route. You just have to slightly change the trajectory of the pass. And I'm like, sure. Yeah. You know, you're thinking about that all in a matter of like 5 seconds. Sure. Whatever. So he said that's all he did there. And it wasn't like that crazy. He knew he was comfortable and was going to be blocked well in the play. So you do you, Aaron Rodgers. That's why you're going to be the MVP this year, because that's a lot harder than it sounds. He also said that there was some friendly trash talk, and that's why he was caught on cameras laughing a couple times. But in his mind, it wasn't necessarily trash talk. It was more just like little comments that made him laugh. He said specifically number 41 on the Rams was really adamant about not jumping offsides on the hard count. Like he said throughout the game, he just kept saying, "You're not going to get us. You're not going to get us. Yeah, you're not going to get us," which I thought was like hilarious, just like picturing that happening. And so Aaron Rodgers said he did the hard count like a couple times and then didn't work, and that they like called a timeout or something after, and that then number 41 like pointed at Aaron Rodgers and was like, "That's right. You can't get us. That's right." And that's why he started laughing. So I thought that was pretty interesting. And though, like Dusty said, they talked a little bit about some of the plays and more of the mechanics that go behind them. But those were kind of the funny things that they talked about. He also said that the Packers losing to the Bucks matters about as much as the Saints beating the Bucks 38-3 or whatever they did in week three. So for anyone that has, you know, argued with a friend this week about, "Oh, well, the Bucks already beat the Packers, so they know how to beat the Packers," let them know that Aaron Rodgers isn't worried about it. And if he's not worried about it, then they shouldn't be either.
Absolutely. Could not agree more. And I find it hard to believe that Alan Lazard was supposed to be blocking on that play. That did not seem like that at all.
It was a fake block. I actually wrote about it. Sure. Today. It was a triggering down because they'd been running inside zone off of that. And so the Mercedes Lewis blocks out, which triggers the safety coming down. And then Lazard had been blocking down on that safety, which then triggers the boundary corner to come up and essentially replace him on the edge to hold the edge. So that's what they're doing there. He's trying to block down on the safety. You block the safety. Lazard's been doing that. Boundary defender comes up. So now you've cleared the boundary defender. So they did that as a fake. So the boundary defender goes to replace because they see Lazard looking to block down. And Lazard just shoots right up. Beautiful, beautiful design.
Yeah, I wasn't serious. I wasn't beautiful looking design, for
Steve. Beautiful design.
Steve, isn't it crazy that Nathaniel Hackett is on our podcast right now? Like, I just,
I did not
ask you for the breakdown. We have a whole section for you to break.
I'm very
stuff
excited
down.
About it, Steve. I'm very excited about it.
Oh my god. Okay, now we're going into the section for Dusty to break stuff down. Can you like cut and paste that and just put it into the like do, oh that sorry that requires sounds editing you don't do
like
editing
work.
I take that back. But as we're doing for every single game the Packers play this year, we are looking at the defense of the opponents. So the Tampa Bay Buccaneers defense versus the Packers offense and what we are looking for in this championship game. So, Sarah, let's start with you. And what's one thing you're looking for this Sunday?
Right. So I talked about this last week a little bit, just with in general with the run game. But something I'm going to be looking for this week on the Packers offense against the Bucs defense is just how they attack in the run game. So what really didn't work, which I'm sure a lot of people have seen, I've seen this floating around Twitter, and it's also if you just watch any tape or highlights from the game, earlier in the season, it's pretty clear that attacking the outsides and, you know, trying to go at them in the run game, whether it's a short pitch play or something like that from the outside, just didn't work. And obviously the Bucs have a really great defense. They have a phenomenal run defense specifically. So since 2019, the Bucs defense has allowed the fewest yards on the ground per game, letting up an average of just 77.2. And in that same about 2 years,
we're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Their time span, they've allowed just 3.43 yards per rushing play, which is also the best in the league. So you know, the running game really has to be on point. And so I'm curious to see with Aaron Jones, Jamal Williams, and AJ Dillon, if he's healthy, which all signs are pointing to that he's just a little banged up, but he should be available, how they utilize the three of them and attack a little bit differently. That's what I'm going to be looking for, just because that was something that was shut down the last time. And when the Packers run game is shut down, it kind of seems like they panic a little bit. And you know, the few games that they've lost this season, or in the games where they did win but they struggled, it's always when the run game is struggling a little bit. So that's what I'm going to be looking for this week. And I think if they can attack and execute properly, that this should be a pretty decent win for Green Bay.
Credit Karma has always been there to help you make better financial decisions. And now they want to help you even more. With a Credit Karma Money Spend account, you can be rewarded for good money habits. Credit Karma Money is a brand new checking account where you can win cash reimbursements for making purchases. Just pay with your debit card, and if you win, you'll be notified on the spot and your Instant Karma cash will be added back to your spend account. Open your FDIC-insured spend account for free. There's no minimum balance requirements, no overdraft fees, and free withdrawals from a network of over 50,000 ATMs. And when you make a purchase between June 8th and June 30th, you'll automatically be entered to win $1 million. Right now, visit creditkarma.com/winmoney to open your free account and start winning instant karma. Go to creditkarma.com/winmoney to sign up for free and start winning. That's creditkarma.com/winmoney. Instant Karma is sponsored by Credit Karma. No purchase necessary. Exclusions and terms apply. See rules. Banking services provided by MVB Bank Incorporated. Member FDIC. Maximum balance and transfer limits apply.
I'm going to be looking at the offensive line. Clearly, there were some struggles there when in week six. And, you know, as a lot of people have noted, there's been a lot of change in Green Bay, a lot of different ways that they run offense after that week, because they learned a lot from how they were attacked and the things that they were showing. So one of the things that I think we'll be looking for, a lot of wide receiver screens. That'll be something that they can do to kind of counteract a lot of that. And we've seen the Packers do that throughout the rest of the season, including the playoffs. They'd like to get the ball out of Aaron Rodgers' hands quick. I mean, you look at that Devontae touchdown. That was just a really, really, like, that throw was just unbelievable for Rodgers to make that, like, get that out of his hands as fast as he did. I'm looking for a lot of stuff like that where, you know, they'll be doing that. Like you saw it on the MVS play where he made a move, got the first down on a big third down. A lot of stuff like that to kind of counteract the fast linebackers that they have. And hopefully the Packers will be avoiding the running to the outside with a pitch play and things like that. I think that would be a wise move to avoid that. So, okay, Dusty, now is the time for you to go have a little fun and discuss it. So tell us what you're looking for. Big takeaways in this game.
I don't have anything to say.
It finally happened. Thank God. Let's move on before you regret the note. Come on.
Yeah,
questions,
I mean,
from Twitter. Okay. Oh.
Run game, quick game. I mean, that is a lot of that stuff, especially in a run game. It seemed like, and we were kind of talking about this before the show, like, it seemed to me in rewatching the game that one of the issues the Packers had, you know, clearly, you know, the defensive front had the Packers, a lot of issues with the Packers' offensive line and protection and also running game all game, has been mentioned. But something that I feel like just came down to the Packers really not, they saw on tape, but they didn't quite understand or kind of feed in their game plan how fast and how aggressive the team is, and specifically Lavonte David and Devin White in the middle there. Like, it seemed like some of the stuff they're asking their offensive line to do, which to get to the second, there's a number of different ways to get to the second level and run blocking, but some of the ways they were trying to do it, especially early in the game, were release those guys immediately, try to get your guys behind you, you know, to just handle the front four, front five, whatever, and then get a reach block on one of the linebackers. And the problem was that sometimes they'd beat the guys to the spot and the linebackers would read and react so fast they couldn't do anything about it because the lineman was so focused on getting to that spot that once he got there, it was kind of, okay, I need to plant and the guys buy him. Or they couldn't get to him because those guys are too quick. And it's almost like the speed kind of caught them by surprise a little and it just kind of torpedoed everything else. So definitely looking at probably a different approach in the run game, maybe a little more what's called duo, which is you call it power without the pulling. So it's a lot of double teams up front. So instead of rushing to get to that second level, you're powering, you got those double teams as much as you can on the at the front of the play, and then you're kind of shedding off to get to that second level. I expect a little bit more of that. You can hold those linebackers a little bit more. They can't flow quite as quick, and you're also getting a bigger push up front. So just something to kind of negate those guys, and also not throw your linemen out on an island to try to block them quickly, because clearly that gave them a ton of issues last time. So that's one of the things I'm seeing. One of the other things would be, you know, I've seen a lot, I think the NFL Stats Twitter account, they put out something about Rodgers under pressure in that game, and do what he did against the blitz against them, and then after. And the funny thing is, and this is to my point, I saw a tweet like that from the NFL account. There's something from PFF, and I think one other one as well. The numbers don't quite align, and that's because people tag blitzes differently. Most of the times, people tag blitzes as five or more rushers. Well, the Bucks, like a lot of teams, will have these fire zone blitzes, put in scare quotes, because you're only rushing four. The Packers do a lot of this as well, where you've got, like, you know, five, six guys at the line, you drop them off, you're only bringing four, but you're bringing them from different angles, so that's not always tagged as a blitz. And so just when you keep that in mind, like, this is what Rodgers did against the blitz. Some of these things, like, he probably did some of those things against maybe blitzes, and also did other things that maybe his numbers were not quite as good against things that weren't technically blitzes, because they're only bringing four, but it's blitz concept. So just something to keep in mind when you see these stats about all that stuff. That's pretty much it. I mean, overall philosophy of Bucks defense is just pressure, and they're very aggressive. I mean, we saw that on the Adams pick six. We saw, and that's one of the last thing I'll say, we saw the Packers take advantage of some aggressiveness in the Rams defense by specifically targeting guys and then running double moves off of them. Now you need protection to hold up for that to work, but I expect some of that. The Bucks are an aggressive defense, and they'll pressure, which sometimes leaves those guys on an island on the outside. I could definitely see some shots off double moves if that protection holds up, just playing off that aggressiveness a little bit.
Double moves might work even better in the snow for a team from the south. I think that might be something good to look at. Mm-hmm. All right. So we've got a whole slew of questions from Twitter. You guys, whenever we put this stuff out, it's always great stuff. And you guys went above and beyond this time, and we can't get to all of them. We look through, and there's a bunch of them that are really close in asking similar questions. So, you know, you may not get recognition, but we're trying to answer as much as we can. So we're going to start from Alderaan, who wants to know, what does LaFleur do differently from the regular season matchup for Green Bay to win? Who wins the coaching matchup? And the second question, your preferred conference championship game food, pizza, wings, chilies, chili, nachos, or other? And he put in a side note that he is a Packers fan living in New England and has seen way too many weird voodoo clutch Brady playoff runs. So, Sarah, we'll start with you. Is there anything you're going to look for differently from the head coach this week, and then dive into your food takes?
Yeah, so the first part of this question would be short for me, because it's pretty much what I talked about before. Like, I think what the Packers and LaFleur should do differently is obviously attack the run game a little different. They shouldn't attack the outsides as much. I mean, they can on occasion, but most of it should be up the middle. Their offensive line, I think, it's been great all season, but I think it's only improved. And yes, obviously, there's no David Bakhtiari, but they saw this past weekend that they have played really well without him. And in the games, you know, earlier in the year, they've played that David Bakhtiari was hurt. They played well without him then. So that's what I think they'll do differently. That might give them a little bit of an edge. Who wins the coaching matchup? LaFleur, because hopefully the Packers win this game, and I'm confident that they can. So usually, you know, the coach that, or the team that wins, they had the coach that coached the better game. As far as conference championship game food, I'm a big believer in wings. I've talked about this many times before. I had, you know, wings this past weekend. It's kind of my go-to. Can't go wrong, but I think pizza is another good option. I'm confident that your Brady voodoo experience can end this year. Let's all positive thoughts that it ends this year.
Yeah, and same as Sarah. I mean, the what does LaFleur do differently? I think we kind of talked about that. I think the way, same thing, way they attack the run game, like a little more power up front, and then just some of the stuff. I mean, don't get spooked early, or get a little more prepped on those linebackers. You've seen them up close now, and so you're kind of ready for that, and so that kind of informs the game plan a little bit. So I think we're going to see that. Who wins the coaching matchup? With Sarah LaFleur, and I think because this is not a shot at Arians whatsoever, but Arians and Bowles both to some extent, they don't change their approach a whole lot. You don't see, I mean, they, you know, throw some wrinkles in there, but they're going to do what they're going to do. And if it works, it works. And if it doesn't, it doesn't. I mean, we saw that early with Brady and Brady struggling in that system because they don't really change a whole lot in that. And so I think if I'm saying coach, I'm saying, okay, which guy is going to come in with the game plan designed to attack some of this stuff? I think that's going to be LaFleur. So I'll take LaFleur. Maybe I'm just thinking of that with a biased mindset, but I'll take it. Game food, wings. Man, we had wings. Did wings last week. Man, just so good. Just perfect. So wings. And then, yeah, we're all hoping it'd just be so great to see Brady lose in the snow. Just would be delightful.
Couldn't agree more. I don't think I have much to add. I mean, we've kind of covered that topic. As far as food goes, I think the consensus for me would just say all of those foods, make them all and eat them all. That's what I did this past weekend for the game. We had a smorgasbord of appetizers, and it was just outstanding. So that was a lot of fun. All right, next up, we have Ken Ingles, the Packers cap expert, and we actually did get one or two questions about the salary cap. So as we will say, go look at Ken's Twitter because he breaks everything down, goes like super in depth, and answers all the questions way better than any of us could. And so yeah, there's, check him out. But he wants to know your go-to move: rock, paper, or scissors. So Sarah, we'll start with you.
I really had to think about this because I was like, what do I do? Like, what's my go-to? So I kind of, you know, this is really embarrassing to admit, but whatever. I kind of had to do it like with myself, like with no one for a second. And I was like, what is the one I always go to? My boyfriend and I, when we like order way too much food and we're like, okay, now someone has to go pick it up. Like we have to do curbside. Who's driving? We always do rock, paper, scissors. And I asked him as well. My go-to is paper, apparently. Why? Your guess is as good as mine. I don't know. That's just the one I go. That's my go-to, paper.
We always said it. It said rock, paper, scissors, and then Sarah said it that way too. I came up paper, rock, scissors. I don't know if that's a regional thing or if it matters at all, but the order, I don't know. I don't have a go-to. I don't think, I cannot tell you the last time I played paper, rock, scissors. I don't have a go-to. I let the spirit take me when I play. And sometimes it goes my way and sometimes it does not.
Listen, folks, the Super Bowl is coming up. And sure, we'll all be watching the game. But the best way to celebrate the biggest day in football is to bet on the game. And we want to let you know about a great resource for sports bettors, the Action Network. The Action Network is where sports fans go to bet smarter and experience real financial gains. In fact, their Action Network app was recently named the best app in sports betting. And with an Action Network Pro subscription, you can unlock the very best of the app. When you sign up for an Action Network Pro subscription, you can access the Pro Report, which includes expert projections for every game across all professional leagues. You can see money and bet percentages on every game, so you can see the teams professional gamblers are betting on. You can take advantage of pro systems, which match winning historical betting trends with the latest games and lines. And you can even track every bet you make and get alerts in real time. So if you're looking to bet smarter, an Action Network Pro subscription is the best way to get started. And for a limited time, our listeners can receive 50% off an annual pro subscription. Just go to actionnetwork.com now and receive 50% off an annual subscription when you use the code PACKADAY. This offer won't last, so go to actionnetwork.com to sign up for a pro subscription and use promo code PACKADAY, all one word, to receive 50% off and start betting smarter today.
I always love playing rock, paper, scissors with my daughter, my six-year-old daughter, because she has the slowest fingers of all time when you're playing, so she can always manipulate and change into whatever will beat you, which is, you know, the classic young child move. Normally, I will go rock, but just as a fun anecdote, when I was living in South Korea teaching English, rock, paper, scissors is like do or die. It is something that kids play all the time. I witnessed a rock, paper, scissors tournament at a bar, at a club in South Korea for thousands of dollars.
Good Lord.
And it was a blind one, so you wouldn't see the person you were playing against, and you would just have to do it. And then it was like single elimination. It was one of the craziest things I saw. And you had to pay like $100 to get into this tournament. And there was like 30 or 40 people on stage. And it was, it is like a, it is cultural. It's cultural for them. Like it is deadly serious. So, I played a lot when I was teaching over there. The kids always loved doing it, and that's how I would assign homework was if I got it, if I beat, like, they could pick one kid for the class, and if they beat me, then they didn't have homework that night, and if I beat them, they did have homework. So it was always a good time. Next up, Aaron Picard wants to know anything on Levante David and Devin White and a way to attack the middle of the Tampa Bay defense. So I know, Sarah, you had talked a little bit about the rush game. I don't have too much to add to this. I don't know if, Dusty, you've got a little bit more. I know we've touched on it already a little, but...
I mean, some of it, for me, it's a game scripting thing. I mean, because the run game we talked about before a pass game, a lot of times, and it depends on what their keys are, and I didn't really pay super close attention to some of this, but if... On play action, if your keys are like the offensive line, say a guard or a tackle or something, if you're not selling that first step as a run, they're not going to bite up on it. So the Bucs, one of the issues he had was the Bucs are kind of drifting back under some of that stuff, and they weren't really biting on the play action. If you don't bite on the play action, it's hard to open up stuff in the middle. And some of that was some of the play calls kind of falling back in the soft zone. Some of that was just not biting on play action. And so I think having play action... And it's tough to sell play action if the front four or five can stop it. Because if you know you don't have to react to fill those gaps, you're more willing to kind of sit back a little bit. So if they can kind of force that action a little bit and get them drawn up on play action, that opens up behind. And if it doesn't, man, you got to find ways to make that work. Run some follow concepts, kind of open up with that first guy and hit the guy behind. I mean, you can't stray away. You can't get totally away from the middle. There are ways to hit it, but I mean, the easiest way would be if play action works. And if it doesn't, follow concepts, you know, a lot of kind of a drag or kind of a deeper crosser and a dig over the top, something to kind of help clear out. Then you hit the one behind it. That's kind of how I would think to do it.
We got multiple questions asking why the Packers didn't use Snacks Harrison as much. Sarah, did you have? I mean, I know we have a direct line to Mike Pettine. What was he telling you as the reason why?
You know, he ghosted me. He didn't answer.
Ah, so that's not cool.
Unfortunately, I don't know. Your guess is as good as mine. I would have loved to see some more Snacks action on the game or in the game this past weekend, and maybe we'll see more this weekend. Who knows? I really don't know why they didn't use him more.
Yeah, I mean, it seemed like, especially against a team, and Goff threw the ball better than I kind of thought he was going to, but against a team you assumed was going to pound the ball a little bit in the running game, that he would be a big part of their plan, and he wasn't. But, I mean, that was a little bizarre, not seeing him out there. But at the same time, Cam Akers didn't beat them. Like, he had, I think, five yards per attempt, which is not bad. Like, that's a good yards per attempt, and so it's not like they stopped him, but he also didn't beat them. They had a key, that third and two, the Preston Smith kind of knifing through to stop for the fourth and one, that ended up being the false start. Like, they came up with stops when they needed them. They held them short, and they didn't allow any big gains. Like, they... Again, like, not huge stoppers, but with the guys they had out there, they did a perfectly fine job against a team that really wanted to beat them with the run and just couldn't. So, so Snacks or no Snacks, I mean, it's one of those, like we leading up to the Titans game, it was all like, oh, Derrick Henry's going to kill him. Derrick Henry didn't kill him. And every week, it seems like it's a new boogeyman. Well, they're going to just, Cam Akers is good. Okay, Cam Akers is fine. The Bucs running game is good. But also the defense has gotten better. Like, Snacks or no Snacks, the defense all around has gotten better, and the run game is a part of that. So it is odd seeing Snacks on out there. I certainly expect him to be a part of it. But the rest of the defense handled it very, very well, I thought.
Next question comes from Kevin Cushing, a.k.a. Dusty's burner account. Did the Packers run any pony package versus Tampa Bay in week 6? And which running back will catch the TD when Rodgers finally hits the all-vert running back seam? I mean, it sounds like gibberish to me, but go ahead, Dusty.
So going back to the game, they did run pony package. So that game, A.J. Dillon got 10 snaps. So pony package is... two running backs on the field at the same time. So typically had been Jones and Williams, and they did that a lot last year and then kind of tailed off a little bit because they were the only two healthy running backs. And this year was kind of, they've got A.J. Dillon, so maybe they'll do it. So they did do it quite a bit against Tampa Bay, to middling success, not great success on that. But I think we're going to see it more. We saw quite a bit of it this past week with A.J. Dillon and Jones, which is a pairing I really, really like a lot better because Dillon is a guy that can catch the ball in the backfield a little bit. And he's also a more bruising runner than Williams is. And then Jones is Jones. So I like that pairing. So we did see it, but it's a different pairing this week. That was Williams Jones, and this is going to be Williams Dillon. So that's going to be fun. As far as the vert, then that's the, you send essentially three verticals up one sideline, and then the running back releases on a wheel up the seam in between them. They've hit on that vertical, I think, one time, and it wasn't even the seam. It was to Tonyan and in New Orleans up the sideline. A.J. Dillon's been running that quite a bit. He's been the wheelman on that. And if he's healthy, we've seen some hands out of him. We know he's kind of a natural receiver. Not a ton of catches, but they've been sending Dillon on that. I'd love to see Dillon on that. I think the teams are more willing to kind of sell out against that when it's Aaron Jones because they know he's more of a natural receiver or he's a better receiver. But Dillon's good enough. So I think my money, if they have someone up the vert that catches that this week, my money's on A.J. Dillon.
See, I think they're saving that for the Super Bowl. That makes more sense to me.
Be nice. So,
that would be nice. Next up, we've got Trill Withers, who is one of Dusty's buddies, I believe. Mm-hmm. He wants to know, how many times does Za'Darius Smith get in the backfield, and why is it 52? Sarah, let's start with you.
I don't know, a lot, I guess. I mean, I don't know the exact number. But hopefully a lot. I feel like he can be a big part of this game. He's been playing pretty well, applying some pretty decent pressure the last few weeks. So hopefully that continues into this NFC Championship game. And I think he's, you know, it's going to be at Lambeau. There are going to be a lot of fans, and Z loves, you know, that kind of energy. So I think he's going to be really pumped up, and he'll probably be in the backfield a lot. But 52, I don't know if it's 52 times, but I mean, hey, if it's like 10% of that, that would be cool.
So he had 51 pressures on the season, and you're supposed to turn your game up in the postseason. So yeah, let's do, you know, just get 90% of the snaps this game. I could see him doing it, man. I mean, he's been a terror, man. Like, just, I mean, that entire line has been, like, he's been a terror. Rashawn Gary's been a terror. Preston Smith has done some really good things. Kenny Clark's been on one. Just watching them work and watching Z kind of, I know early in the season was kind of, the energy wasn't quite there. He's just a maniac. I just love it. So, yeah, 52 sounds right. That sounds right to me.
Yeah, whatever he has, I'm going to say Rashawn Gary has, like, two more. So...
fair.
I think that'll solve the problem, and that'll put Tom Brady on his booty, and that's what everybody from the Packers fans wants to see. So next up, we've got Gooseman 488. How do you think the elements will affect the Bucks defensive line and linebackers? I mean, I think we haven't talked too much about the weather. It's looking like it's gonna be cold. There might be some snow. So team from Florida, Sarah, we'll start with you because you live in Florida. How would you deal with the fact of playing in snow for the first time all season?
Yeah, I would be miserable. I tweeted before the game on Saturday, so right at the beginning, one of the broadcast announcers said, "Oh, it's 30 degrees, which is not too bad here in Green Bay. That's pretty warm." And it was like, I literally almost choked. I'm like, warm? Like, that's so cold for me and anyone else that lives in Florida. And so I tweeted it and then said, me, a Floridian, and it was like Elmo shivering in the cold because that's how I felt. So, yeah, it's going to have a huge impact on how they play. I mean, Florida cold is way different than, like, cold in other areas. Like, sometimes because of the humidity, it feels like – it really hits you kind of in your bones, like a lot cooler. And even though, like, you have jackets or whatever on, it nothing really helps. But then I've been up to, like, Wisconsin and other places when it's cooler, and it's just a completely different ball game. The snow is insanely hard to play in. I mean, not to, like, say I have all this experience, but I remember in high school, I traveled to a tournament for soccer in North Carolina and it ended up snowing. And our whole team was like, we don't know what to do. Like, this is not like what we're used to. We're freezing. It's slippery. And, you know, we're playing with our feet. I can't even imagine like having to use your hands and everything like that. So, yeah, I think it's going to have a really big impact. And that's why Aaron Rodgers wanted this game to be at Lambeau Field, because the elements are in their favor. The Packers, honestly, every time it starts to snow and some snow flurries come down, I think like something like really just they come alive, really. And it seems like they almost play better in the snow at times. So, yeah, I think it's going to serve as a huge advantage for the Packers and really slow them down.
Yeah, and I think especially, again, with some of their aggressiveness that they like to have. I mean, a little bit of misdirection at the line gets a false step one way, and they got to go back the other way. Not only is there you're possibly slipping, but also a little bit harder to get up to speed. So I think against a kind of a fast, aggressive defense like the Bucs want to play, like, yeah, even without the whole Florida and coming to the cold thing, I think not being used to playing in that, I think that's going to, you know, slow them down at least a step, you know, on some plays, I would think, which may be enough.
Yeah, it's getting used to it and not, you know, making sure you have the right cleats on and all this kind of stuff that the Packers know exactly what they want to do. They know the shoes that they want to be wearing, the size cleat they want to have, and it's going to take some adjusting, I think, for some of the Buccaneers. So it may, you know, even out halfway through the game when they start to get used to it and they can understand their footing a little bit more. But it is an advantage for the Packers to be playing in a cold weather game, I would say. So. Next up, we have got John Plotter, who wants to know, what one famous Packers fan would you like to watch a Packers game with? So, Dusty, you found a list of famous Packers fans. You still have that up?
I've got it in front of me. I'll read through a few of them. There's some good ones, man. Okay. Got some big ones. We got Justin Timberlake. We got Jodie Foster. Jodie Foster, I found out, was a Packers fan because she wore a cheese head on Conan. Loved it. Lil Wayne. Everyone knows Lil Wayne. He just released the sequel, The Green and Yellow, last week. Harry Styles, famously not one of the Jonas Brothers, but seems like a delightful man and a very talented young man. He's worn, if you watch the NPR Tiny Desk concert series, he did one and wore a Rodgers jersey, wore a Green Bay jersey for that. James Vanderbeek, Chris Farley, Larry the Cable Guy, apparently. Liberace. Ryan Reynolds. I think Ryan Reynolds, that's mine. Joan Jett, Ellen DeGeneres, David Ortiz, Brad Paisley, Tony Shalhoub, Steve Miller. Like, it, you know, some hits and misses there, but that's a decent list. Yeah. So I'm going with Ryan Reynolds.
Ryan Reynolds, okay.
I love Ryan Reynolds.
Yeah.
Like, been a fan of his since, you know, obviously the Deadpool stuff was great, but the Amityville Horror remake, he was tremendous in. Waiting, I loved. Adventureland was, like, he was tremendous in that. Like, just, even Blade Trinity. God, I've seen Blade Trinity so many times. That movie's god-awful, but he's tremendous. So, big Ryan Reynolds guy. Loved watching a game with Ryan Reynolds.
I think Ryan Reynolds is definitely up there for me. I think I'm kind of torn between him and Harry Styles. Because Harry Styles is just Harry Styles. Like, he's iconic and love him. Sorry, Steve. Since
sure.
For background, just please see my Twitter so you can see the conversation and how it went down that Steve did not know who Harry Styles is, which is just a damn shame because he's a legend. So anyway.
I've heard the name. I just thought he was part of the Jonas Brothers.
Anyways, moving on so I don't get too upset about that. And I just think Harry Styles is a really cool person. So to be able to just like watch a Packers game and chill and like talk with him about anything and everything under the sun would be cool. But with Ryan Reynolds, he is funny as hell. Like, I crack up at all of the stuff that he does. So I feel like his commentary while watching a Green Bay game matched with like the immediate anger that sometimes I like act on when I'm watching a game and like shout and get upset would be just like a really good combination. I mean, if he wants to bring Blake Lively as well, that would be cool too, because she's awesome. So
I think you both had great answers, but bringing Chris Farley back to life to watch a Packers game with him would just be awesome. That dude was just pure comedy gold, and the amount of passion that he had for you know, comedy and things like that being thrown into like seeing him love the Packers and watching them win a conference championship game. If it was this weekend, like that, I think to me, that would be it. That would be the ideal. I mean, you can't go wrong with Ryan Reynolds and apparently Harry Styles. That's a cool thing too. But to me, it would be Chris Farley. So let's see. I have to scroll through because half of my mentions are all about food and things like that. So, and my bet that I paid off. But next one we have Bart, who wants to know, what type of game script do you expect between Green Bay and Tampa Bay in comparison to what type of game script you love from Green Bay? So to me, I'll let Dusty, I don't know, Sarah, if you have a script in mind or if you just like Dusty to take this one again.
Mine is just win. Like, that's all the script is. Just a blank page that says win in all caps with the period. So Dusty can fill in those blanks for us.
I want to be like the Bears guy and just have the script says BU. That's what it is. BU, man.
That's right. Yeah, and guess what, Steve? They were. Turns out they were. And what they were was 8-8. Yeah, I mean, you know, I don't have a full 15-play game script or anything, but kind of the stuff we talked about, I hit them really early, you know, hit him with some play action, kind of see how the see those linebackers, you know, you're looking when, in the game script, what you're doing, you're trying to see kind of how pieces react when you either line up in certain personnel, what do they sub, or how do they react to some of these different things. So I'm seeing how they react to play action, because if you can get them sold on the play action, that opens up a bunch of stuff in the middle, as we kind of talked about. So I'm getting a lot of play action, especially the play action boot, throwing at least one of those in there in the game script. It's something the Packers do a lot. We saw a couple variations this past week we hadn't seen in the past, but kind of seeing, okay, how are they crashing that line? How are they defending that? That's one of the bread and butter plays, not only from a passing perspective, but also from just a straight kind of inside zone running perspective as well. So with the play action boot, you get a view of, okay, how are they looking at this initially? So how could they possibly defending against inside zone run versus how are they kind of crashing the edge and looking to do some of the boot stuff? And so throwing one of those in there for sure. Again, throwing some duo run plays in there, kind of seeing what movements you can get at the point of attack, how those linebackers, what they're doing as far as gap responsibility, and so then what you can run off that. That may open up some doors for screens or possibly even play action selling. You fake that duo to kind of trigger those guys to come down, which opens up behind. And then you're throwing a shot play in there, man. Throw a double move in there. Throw a kind of Mills concept, that kind of deep dig post over the top against a single high. Like, just see what they can do, man. That's kind of what I'm looking at. And also, I guess lastly would be either some RPO or just called wide receiver screen. They had one in the first game, I think, in that first drive. Is that maybe the second play of the game? That was kind of they had a numbers advantage, a legit 3-on-1 numbers advantage. Rodgers throws it, and the defender, I can't remember who it was on that side, blows it up, knifes through the two blockers, and hits the receiver before as the ball's getting there, just breaks it up, almost picks it off. So kind of one of those, like, how aggressive are they? And also, like, what do we need to do? Block them a little bit and kind of challenge them in the snow, challenge that reaction in the snow, see what you can get off of that. So I'm going, I guess as a summary, we're hitting some duo, we're hitting some play action boot. We got at least one shot in there. And we got some quick game out to the outside. So that's what I'm looking at.
I echo Sarah. Just win, baby. Just win. Next up, Matthew Dobby wants to know, he's a longtime listener, loves the show. What's more important this weekend, stopping the Bucs from getting to Rodgers or consistently getting after Brady? Bonus on-brand question, what is the best non-Oreo cookie? So, Sarah, let's start with you.
Yeah, well, first of all, thanks for listening and sending in a question. As far as what I think is more important, I think it's the Packers getting to Brady, because Brady is the type of person where if you get in his head, he will get very pissed off and show everyone that he's really pissed off. And I feel like the Packers would just absolutely feed off of that energy, especially especially since there is going to be fans at Lambeau Field. If they see Brady really pissed and like slamming his helmet on the sideline or something because the Packers defense is just getting after him and really doing a great job, the fans are going to love that. They are going to absolutely soak it up. They're going to make some noise. They're going to get rowdy, or as rowdy as they can, you know, in their small numbers. So I think that's most important, especially from like a momentum standpoint. We've seen so many times this year that the Packers just – first half, they look pretty good. And then that third quarter, it's like the momentum totally shifts. And if they can, you know, get to Brady and consistently get after him, I think, you know, the offense will respond positively and the momentum will work in their favor. Oh, and second question, it was, what's my favorite cookie that isn't an Oreo? Is that what it was?
Correct.
I would say the Chewy Chips Ahoy. Not the original. I don't like the hard ones, but the chewy ones, or the soft baked ones, are really good.
Yeah, and I'd say, I might go with Sarah as well. I mean, I think, you know, keeping Rodgers clean is obviously very important, and that's something they did not do in the first game. It's something they've done very well since then. But we know Brady wants to get the ball out quickly. And you know, you like Sarah said, you can rattle him, you can rush him a little if you hit him. And so I think just thinking through it, okay, if that's the thing, if the Bucs line is able to get to Rodgers, well then, you know, you got ways to counteract that, right? You can LaFleur will just dial up some short stuff, you'll hit some quick hitters, you can kind of work some of that area. They've especially shown, I mean, more as the season's gone on, the ability to not only attack the short stuff, but a willingness to take what the defense gives them a little bit more. Whereas if Brady's getting popped, Arian's just going to keep Brady getting popped because that's what he's doing. You're still taking those shots. So I think there may be a slight adjustment there. Like I say, you rattle Brady a little bit, but also I don't think Arian's is changing that. So if you can get to him early, you likely can get to him all game and they're not changing a whole lot up. So I'll take that one. And cookie, non-Oreo cookie. I'm kind of going to that same range. I'm going to go Famous Amos, man. I'll buy me a box of those Famous Amos cookies, and they're amazing. I'm like, I'm going to let these take a little while, and then they will be gone in 30 minutes. So.
Yeah, actually, we're going clean sweep on this answer because I completely agree. I think if you are talking about out of Brady and Rodgers, who's the more mobile quarterback, that's clearly Aaron Rodgers. He can get – even if they're getting a pass rush on him, he can get out. You saw him move around, like – avoided Aaron Donald and then threw a freaking rope to Tonyan, made a hell of a play. And Brady isn't doing that kind of stuff. He's going to try to move around a little bit, but he'll chuck the ball into the ground. He'll do all that kind of stuff. So I want the Packers defense in the backfield before he can even get rid of the ball. So that's what I think would be the best thing. And then the best non-Oreo cookie for me, it would be the soft batch cookies. I think they're the Keebler brand or whatever it is, but warm those things up in the microwave for like 8 or 9 seconds. And you got some fire there. So I normally, to be fair though, I really don't buy a lot of cookies outside of Oreos as it is. So I actually had to think about that one for a while. So thank you, Matthew, for listening and for the on-brand question to end it. So I think we may have one more. I'm scrolling there. I'm starting to get into the end of the bet, so that's why I've got a lot of the food questions. Here it is. Okay, John Kramer. How will the offensive line counter Tampa Bay stunts and creative blitzes? Keep a back in to block, run the ball more, something else? I know we've talked about this a little, the wide receiver screens a little bit. I'm going to try to find it too. I saw Dan Orlovsky of ESPN had a good like 3-minute segment on Get Up, maybe it wasn't Get Up, whatever Greeny's new show is, but I saw it on Twitter, and talking about how this game is going to be awesome, how both of these teams have adapted and changed since week six, and how the Packers essentially have taken that game and kind of morphed their offense. And I know Dusty talked about this a lot, of seeing like this was the first time the blitzes were getting home on them. This is the first time that their offensive line was getting beat by these types of blitzes. And so in order to get better and self-scout, they were able to, you know, do more wide receiver screens. They were able to work differently with their run game and things like that. So if I can find that video again, I'll tweet it out because it was really insightful. But to me, it's just, you know, it's adapting. It's keep on doing what they've been doing. Teams still have been blitzing the Packers, and they've been doing really well against it. So, Dusty, you have anything to add on top of it?
No, I mean, there was some confusing stuff. I mean, that they got crossed up with a little bit. You know, some of the communication on the line wasn't quite there, which, you know, they had, I think most of their main line was there for that game, if I'm not mistaken. So there's some of those miscommunications. Like, that's just better know what to expect, man. Again, Bowles is kind of going to run his stuff. He's going to change it up a little, but you got to be prepared for some of that. He's going to be blitzing off of weird angles. He's going to try to kind of tie you up with some of the rules of maybe what you're supposed to do. I think keeping a back is good. You know, Jamal Williams, but then we saw Jamal Williams whiff on some of those the last time. So we've seen seen a lot more of some of the two tight end stuff. Actually, they've gone to a lot of 11 personnel with the one tight end. But when we see the two tight ends, they usually go. They've been going kind of strong formation. So you've got the kind of two tight ends set to one side in the line. And when they do that, just know, you know, Bowles likes to kind of blitz off that weak side. He likes to kind of bring some of that stuff. So it's one of those, I mean, it's cliche to say it, but, you know, that offensive line's got to operate as one unit, man. Like, as far as, like, passing this stuff off, seeing that. I mean, Rodgers is going to get got sometimes. That's just the nature of the game. That's the nature of how this defense plays. But if that offensive line is able to communicate like we've seen them communicate, I don't really have any major concerns. That's just it, man. They gotta pick that stuff up and kind of see what's going on ahead of them.
Tara, any final notes on that?
No, I think you guys covered it.
Awesome. Well, that does wrap up our question segment from Twitter. So thank you again, as always, for sending those in. There was a whole bunch to go through. So sorry we couldn't answer all of them, but I have a feeling nobody wants to listen to an hour and a half to 2 hour podcast from us. So normally we push the limits of the 20 minute a day Packer podcast as we normally do. But thank you again. So as always, on Twitter, at Dusty Evely, at Sarah Kelleher, for at Steve Perhatch, and at Packaday Podcast. So thanks again for those. Before we do our final thoughts, I'm gonna get a game prediction from you guys. So Sarah, we'll start with you. Where are you trending, like, score wise? What's a bold prediction? Something you think might happen in the game? Give me it's a free segment for you to go say what you think is gonna happen Sunday. And obviously, I gave them no preparation for this. So
thanks, Steve.
Outstanding show host.
I think Packers are gonna win. I feel pretty good about it. And I was talking to my boyfriend about this because we watched the game together on Saturday, and I said, I think losing to, or Sunday, because that's when the Bucks played, I said, I think losing to the Bucks early in the season is going to be one of the best things that could have happened to the Packers this year, because I think obviously they're going to walk away motivated. They want to, you know, this is a revenge game for them. Now the Bucks have to come to Lambeau Field. And the setting, like, it just feels like the Packers are trending in the right direction and that they're really kind of peaking at the right time. So I feel really good about it. I think Green Bay can pull this out. I think it's going to be a battle. So as far as score prediction, maybe like 31-24, something like that. I think it's going to be close, but I think Green Bay is going to end up on top. And then a bold prediction.
I think you got one.
Yeah. I mean, I'll just throw this out there. Why not manifest it into the universe? I think either Jaire Alexander or Darnell Savage has a pick six.
I like it.
That's my bold prediction.
I'm going to go, Packers 38-24. Let's get it, man. The things that they learned from the week six, as well as all the stuff Sarah said about getting better throughout the year, I think that serves them well here. They are, you know, besides a couple guys here and there, relatively healthy. So, yeah, I think they've run it up a little, and bold prediction. I don't know. Aaron Jones, 150 yards on the ground. Let's do it. 150 yards, two touchdowns on the ground for Aaron Jones.
All right. I like this. Lots of positivity. I'm going to go 34-27 Packers. And Sarah actually stole my bold prediction because I tweeted that out after the game, and you liked it, Sarah. So
thinking about it, I why did I feel like that's a thing that's gonna happen? And I'm like, probably because my brain was like, because you've seen it before and you didn't have any time to prepare because Steve threw this on you. So
he surprised you, steal something from him.
Oh god, this is so gonna happen now, and Sarah's gonna talk about how this was her bold prediction from the podcast. I don't care. But yeah, I mean, to me, that's something. I mean watching that Bucks game, you saw Brady throw a couple of balls that I just watched, and I was like, dude, Jaire's gonna get one. This is the game. This is gonna be something fun, and he's gonna be celebrating in the snow at Lambeau. So that would be pretty outstanding. That should do it. I think we've covered everything. We've probably been going for like an hour and a half now, but let's do some closing thoughts. So, Dusty, what do you got for us?
Yeah, all right. So my normal stuff, writing, I actually wrote an additional article this week because I got so hyped. So over at Pack Report yesterday, I've got something that is about how the Packers, kind of mentioned earlier, how the Packers use motion to create kind of a favorable matchup for Adams on against an aggressive defender. So that's up over at Pack Report. And then today at Pack Report, I've got my pressure slash defensive looks. I've got the play I talked about earlier with that is Preston Smith knifing through the line to stop Cam Akers on 3rd and 2 that eventually set up a field goal on the Rams drive instead of a potential touchdown. And also Za'Darius Smith's sack, I think his first sack, where kind of a very nicely designed that, kind of as I talked about, what I hope does not happen to the Packers this week, caused some confusion within the Rams offense and just caught them kind of in a rotation, the exact right offensive call to kind of make that happen. So really fun stuff over there. And then at Cheesehead, again, I normally do one. So that's going to be up today. Got Passing Chronicles up today where I'm kind of hitting the Adams touchdown. I've got a check down off a shot play, a couple looks at that that all-go halfback seam that we talked about earlier. So that'll be up today. And then yesterday I wrote something on the Lazard touchdown. So kind of the couple plays that set it up. There was actually the drop by Lazard earlier in the game. It was out of that same formation. Then the Packers hammered the Rams with inside zone runs out of that same look. And then kind of how that almost the dominoes of triggers set on by Lazard acting like he's blocking down and Lewis blocking out, how that kind of set up the Rams for that big touchdown. So it was just a really fun sequence to look at. And so that's up over at Cheesehead now. That went up yesterday. So and I've got a whole bunch of other stuff. I've been just insanely busy at work, so I haven't really drawn up anything else, but a lot of really fun stuff this week, man. I mean, as you would imagine, like stuff that looks like what we've seen, but slightly different. So a lot of really good stuff to dig into this week.
And for me, I'll have my weekly game recap up after the game. So definitely be on the lookout for that. Thank you guys, as always, for sending in your halftime thoughts and your final thoughts. I love sorting through those and including a few in my story. And then just wanted to give a little birthday shout out to my boyfriend Bailey, because Sunday is the NFC Championship game, but it's also his birthday. So he's going to be really nervous that day, unfortunately, but hopefully the Packers will gift him with a big fat win and a trip to the Super Bowl. So happy birthday to Bailey, and go Pack go.
All right. Well, happy birthday to Bailey as well. We've talked to him randomly once or twice through before everything starts. So, yeah, happy birthday to him. For me, I want all of Packers fans listening right now to take a collective deep breath. I've been, you know, watching Twitter, and seems like some of you aren't handling the fact that the Packers are in the championship game too well. You're freaking out. You're talking a lot of crap to a lot of people, and you know, the media does not hate the Packers. They're not disrespecting them by not including them in every single tweet about everything. Like, we all got to take a step back here for a minute and just appreciate the fact that the Packers are in the conference championship, most likely, fingers crossed, going to the Super Bowl. There'll be plenty of time for all the dissection in the offseason, but just appreciate the fact this is a fun time. This is awesome. The media is not trying to kill the Green Bay Packers. I'm just going to tell you that. So enjoy this time. It doesn't happen that often, except for 2 years in a row for the Packers. But it's a lot of fun to just live through it right now. So be in the moment. Embrace the love, not the hate. And let's get excited, because we're going to be talking to you guys next week after the Packers have clinched a trip to the Super Bowl. So thanks as always for listening. We will be back next week to discuss the Packers, the Super Bowl, and how Aaron Rodgers is going to be the MVP of the Super Bowl as well. So thanks again for listening. We'll catch you next week. And as always, go Pack, go.
Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring podcasts on the Blue Wire Network. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System yet, then you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. Wherever you are across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's Unified, UNIFYD, healing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE system.